I'm sure we've all had those "oh yes" moments. Those moments when we realized that something good has happened. Or we realized that something is about to happen and it's going to be very good. Oh yes. But we've also had those "oh no" moments. Those moments when we first realize that something's happened and it's not good. Or that something's going to happen and it's not going to be good. I think we can all think in our lives about those "oh yes" moments as well as those "oh no" moments. How should we react to those "oh no" moments? When a storm suddenly burst above our heads and there's no shelter from the storm. Or when we see the storm coming on the horizon. How should we react in those "oh no" moments? The way we are to react is what Scripture calls with an unwavering faith. With an unwavering faith. Our faith should be a steadfast in "oh no" moments as it is in "oh yes" moments. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. When the storms of life blow, our faith should not waver like the waves of the sea. It should be steadfast, growing. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." In James chapter 3 and verse 17, James chapter 3 and verse 17. The Holy Spirit here through James says, "The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering." Wisdom from above is unwavering. And this is an interesting word. It means indistinguishable. Without uncertainty. And I think just as we should react to all people with the same measure of judgment, we should react to all moments in life with the same level of growing faith. Abraham had an "oh yes" moment, but it was so profoundly good that it was very difficult for him to believe. Here in his advanced age, he and his wife were going to have a child, but he didn't waver. God said it and he believed it. And he reacted to an "oh no" moment just as he did to an "oh yes" moment. Look over at Hebrews chapter 11. God told him, "You're going to have a son." He did not waver in unbelief. Later, he was told, "Take this son and go sacrifice him." You know what he did? He did not waver in unbelief. Hebrews 11:17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, whom he had received the promises, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendant shall be called.' But he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead." See, God, Abraham had seen God bring Isaac to reality. He was absolutely sure that God kept His promises, and if God said that in Isaac's seed all the earth would be blessed, he believed it. Now, if God's going to tell me to go sacrifice Isaac, what's the Scripture? I mean, what is the conclusion? The only conclusion is He's going to raise my son from the dead. But you say that's easier said than done, and I can't help but agree with you. It is absolutely easier said than done when it comes to those "oh no" moments when the thunder is clapping and the winds are howling and you can't find shelter from the storm, you got to be out in the elements. How do you face them with this unwavering faith that the Scripture says we ought to have? Well, there are some things we got to remember, and there are some things we got to do. And what I want to talk about this morning is some things we need to remember. And then in tonight's lesson, I want to talk about some things that we need to do. And I would appreciate your feedback. I don't know, but it strikes me that maybe putting a tract, at least something together, and I'm sure there are these resources available already, but something that we could keep in our wallets or in our purses. When those moments, boom, it's bad, it's now. Something that we can readily access. So instead of having the Satan filling our minds, we've got God filling our minds. So I would appreciate your kind attention. If there's anything that we should add to or take away from this, or phrase it better, I'd appreciate your help very much. So what do we do? What do we do in those moments? Those oh no moments. One thing we've got to do is call to mind some things that are just true. And maybe the best way to go about receiving this lesson is think about an oh no moment. Get one, get a concrete one in your mind. Get something in your mind where just your worst fears came to fruition. And having that in your mind, the question becomes, well, how should I react if I face a comparable situation? Here are some things to consider, brethren. First of all, God loves me. God loves me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. He doesn't wish for anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants every one of us to be with Him in heaven. God so loved the world, He wanted that so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you're stuck out in a storm of life, never doubt that God loves you and that He wants to take care of you in that situation. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. God loves us. Don't ever doubt His love. Matthew 7, 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" God loves us. There are some storms of life. But always remember, first and foremost, the love of God that He has for you. Second thing to remember is that God told us things like this were going to happen. God is not pulling the wool over our heads, trying to hide from us the realities of life. Long before we had our oh no moments, Jesus said to us, "You're going to have them. You're going to have them." In Acts 14 and verse 21, for Acts 14 and 21, you just drop down to the bottom of verse 22 for time's sake. It talks about how they went preaching the gospel, making disciples, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them in the faith, and he says, one way he encouraged them to continue the faith was to say, "Don't be naive. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Life is not always easy. Life sometimes is bitterly hard. But God didn't tell us anything different. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. When it happens to us, we need to remember, you know what? We're not the only ones these things happen to. It happens to a lot of folks. And they're enduring them, and so can we. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 says, "Resist him," talking about the devil, "firm in your faith. Don't waver. Be steadfast." How do you do that? By knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. God's not singling us out for special suffering that nobody else has ever endured. What we're going through is such as is common to man. And we need to remember that. But why? Okay, He loves me and He told me these kind of things would happen, but why does He let them happen? It's because by enduring them, He is training me to be as blessed as I can possibly be. That's what God wants for me. It's what He wants for you. God wants you to be as blessed as you can possibly be, and that's the reason why you got to go through storms of life. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Remember, the thunder is just clapped. The winds are howling. You're stuck in the storm. There is no shelter. Remember this, in the day of prosperity be happy, but in the day of adversity consider that God has made one as well as the other. It's a part of life because it's best. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. It's talking there in the context about God and His wisdom and His creation. And basically what it's saying is that everything that's in life is there for a good reason. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 says, "There is an appointed time for everything." And if you drop down to verse 11, it says, "He has made everything appropriate or beautiful in its time." How in the world is suffering an appropriate or beautiful thing? It's because this life is not heaven on earth. This life is about deciding whether we want to be in heaven while we're here on earth. This life is basic training for the afterlife. If you want to be in the military, everybody's got to go through some basic training in order for them to be fit for service. If we want to go to heaven, there's some things we got to go through if we're going to be fit for that calling of God. And we need to be trained. We need to practice. We need to be disciplined. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable sometimes, but it's necessary. Look at Psalm 119:67. Psalm 119:67. We need good, healthy doses of hardship to learn some valuable lessons that we can't learn any other way. Psalm 119:67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Verse 71. "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me." God allowing us to endure these things is not something that God is doing to us. It's something He's doing for us. It's something the devil's doing to us. But God allows it because it's something He's doing for us. Is it pleasant? No. Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:11. Is it always pleasant? No. Is it always best? If God allows it, it may not be good. The thing that happened may not be good. But God allows it because good can come from anything that happens in life. Hebrews 12:11 says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful." It's a lot more fun to play the game than go to practice. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to show up for practice. And that's what this life is about. And the coach is going to put us through some difficult drills. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Sometimes we ask, why me? Really, the more appropriate question is, why not me? Why not me? How have I been so blessed up until now? I deserve a whole lot worse than this. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples there asked Jesus to increase their faith. To increase their faith. Make my faith stronger. Make it so that it's steadfast. Make it so that it doesn't waver with the storms of life. What did he do? Look down at verse 10. He humbled them. He said, so you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say this. If you want to increase your dependence on me, appreciate this. We are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the fact that we're allowed to continue to breathe in and breathe out and have the hope of heaven is a gracious gift of God that none of us can ever deserve. Romans 6:23. The way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 is, I am by the grace of God what I am. So the question really is not why me, the question is why not me. Really the question is why now? The real question is why not long before now? We need to keep things in perspective, brethren. Whatever it is that we have to endure to get to heaven is surely worth it all. Or as I put it here, the pain of enduring things like this is nothing compared to the gains of unwavering faith. I'll just quickly refer to Proverbs 28, verse 20, which says, a faithful man will abound in blessings. Keep the faith. Yeah, the storms are blowing. You're out in the storm. Don't doubt God. Keep on keeping on. Allow this to make your faith stronger, not weaker. And you will be blessed for it. It's not fun to go through practice, but the game is worth all the pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Paul said it so well. He says, we don't lose heart. Our faith does not waver. Even though our outward man is decaying, he says, our inward man is being renewed day by day. This is taking a toll on my body, but you know what? It's building up my spirit. How can you go through the things that Paul went through with that kind of an attitude? And here's what he believed. Here's what he remembered. I'm enduring a momentary light affliction. And it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Remember, God loves you. He warned you things like this would happen. He's allowing them to train you so that you can be blessed. You don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. But the pain is going to be worth the gain. Hang in there. Always remember that whenever you've faced these storms of life, things have always worked out best when you walk by faith. There's going to be times when, boom, the thunder clashes and life is just tumbling around you everywhere. How have those things gone best for you? When you walk by faith, when you don't allow your faith to waver, but you allow it to be steadfast. Romans 8:28. Again, not everything that happens in life is good, but good can come from anything that happens in life if we love God. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him. Didn't work out so well for Moses, was it, when his faith wavered? And instead of obeying God when it came to getting water for the children of Israel, he disobeyed Him. And it cost him going over into the earthly promised land. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Here is Paul's attitude. I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Keep on keeping the faith. There's an end game here. And if you do what God says, you'll get through this and you'll be able to face the next one even more meaningfully. And if you keep on that path throughout life, when this life is over, you'll be abundantly blessed. Yeah, it's hard. And there's times when you want to raise your fist to God and say, why do I got to put up with this? Why? It shouldn't be this way. It's not fair. All that being said, if you want to get through it in the best possible way, keep the faith. Something we need to remember whenever we're going through these moments is that I freely and solemnly promise to walk by faith. I made a commitment to God. Paul expressed it so eloquently in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. It's kind of like in a marriage ceremony when we say, for better or for worse, when we came in repentance to God for salvation, we said to Him, for better or worse, not my will, but Thy will be done. We made a promise. God, no matter what comes down the path, I'm gonna tread it Your way. We made a promise. We don't need the attitude of the children of Israel. Look at Psalm 78:34. This is rich. God tried His best to bring the children of Israel to repentance, and here was their response. Whenever He would punish them, it says, when He killed them, they sought Him and returned and searched diligently for God, and they remembered that God was their rock and that the Most High God was their Redeemer. But notice this. But they deceived Him with their mouth and lied to Him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast towards Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. Remember the promises we made, brethren. There are some unimaginably horrible things you've got to go through in this life. But remember, you freely and solemnly promised God, I'm going to handle them Your way. Who can dwell with God? As we talked about in a recent lesson, it is he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. So let's be like God. Look at 89:33, Psalm 89:33. Here's God's attitude towards His promises, and it should be our attitude towards our own. Here's what God says. I will not break off my loving kindness from Him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. God says, I'm not going to allow my faithfulness to waver. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn, and God swears by His holiness, but we have sworn by God's holiness, I will not lie. Here's God talking about the covenant He made with David, and He says, I'm going to do it. And when it comes to the covenant we made with God, when we appeal to Him for salvation, we need to keep in mind, okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where the wheat is separated from the chaff. This is tough. What am I going to do? Am I going to keep my promises? And eighth thing to remember is that we can do this, brethren. We can do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 makes it very clear that no temptation has overtaken us, except such as common to man, but with the temptation He will provide a way of escape that we may be able to endure. No matter what storms of life are bursting over our head, we can get through this with God's help. We can do it. We can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through God who strengthens us. We can do it. Psalm 89 and verse 8. We need to remember, as the song that Stephen led said, God, He made the storms. He can stop them. He's in control. Oh Lord, God of hosts, Psalm 89, 8. Who is like You, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds You. You rule the swelling of the sea, and its waves rise. You still them. Whatever storm of life is bursting, remember, it doesn't happen without the allowance of God. That doesn't mean God's behind it, but He allows it. And He could storm it just like that if He wanted to. Just as surely as we read about in Matthew 8 when Jesus was crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storms were waving, they woke up Jesus saying, "Carest thou not that we perish? How can you lie asleep?" And He said, you should have more confidence and faith in the One who allows the storms than the storm itself. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. What a powerful passage. You are from God, little children, and you've overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And He translates that to us by our faith, 5:4, 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's hard, it's tough. You don't see how you can get to next week, but you can get to the next minute. And if you take God's hand for the next minute, you know what? Eventually that equals up to a day. And if you keep doing that, that equals a week, and that equals a month. Place yourself in the hollow of God's hand. You can do this. It does not have to break you. It can make you. And isn't that the case? Those of us who have been in Christ for any period of time, isn't it the tough things in life that have really helped make you who you are, so much so that if you could go back and change things, you wouldn't do it because you're not sure otherwise you'd be who you are now? We can do this. Remember, God keeps His promises. Has God ever let you down? The answer is no. Is He taking care of you right now? Yes, He is. Will He always do that? Absolutely. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because He who has promised is faithful. The psalmist in Psalm 37, 25 said, you know what? I'm old, but I was young. But you know what? I've never seen someone who leans on God, who has an unwavering faith. I've never seen him forsaken. I've never seen him or his descendants begging bread. God will take care of you. He has, hasn't He? Isn't He now? He will tomorrow. When that storm thunder claps, God will take care of you. Believe it. Remember that. Another thing to consider is that God sees the big picture. We don't. You know, Esther was going to have to go before the king, and it could have cost her life. And Mordecai reminded her of a couple things. He says, basically, if you don't do it, somebody else will. And the second thing he said to her is, how do you know that it wasn't for this very reason you were called to this moment? At best, we are private, third class. I don't know what the lowest echelon is. I know it's not first class. Compared to God, we are basically as low in the army as you can get, and God is the five-star general. When you're a grunt and you're in the trenches, you don't see the big picture. But you got to trust that the generals do. And that's not always something that you can do successfully in military terms with men, but it's something that you can always do with God. Who knows? I mean, maybe the very reason you're going undergoing this thing right now is because 10, 15, 20 years from now, there's a place that you need to be, and this is how He's getting you there. Trust Him. Trust Him. We won't have to put up with it very long, brethren. Look at Luke 18, verse 1. Yeah, life can be hard. It can wear on you. Luke 18, 1 says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." Why is that? Because if we will trust God, He'll take care of us and it won't be very long. Compared to eternity, nothing that we have to put up in these 70 or 80 years is it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Hear what the unjust, unrighteous judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. We got to remember that God does things in His time. And His time frame is very different from ours. And so we got to remember to look at things from His time perspective. Time is relative. That's what Einstein taught us. And so often we get so discouraged by the storms of life because we want God to do things in our time, but He does things in His time. In comparison, what we're putting up with is like that. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Verse 10. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. Maybe it's some person who is causing this storm to burst above your head. And if they're unrighteous in what they're doing, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of it. Two other things. We need to remember that people are watching and depending on us. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 19. Proverbs 25 and verse 19. We say we're Christians. We say that we are servants of the only true and living God. All right, how are you going to handle adversity? How are you going to put what you say you believe into practice? Is there going to be a dime's worth of difference between you and the world? There must be, because people need to see in us that we have a high and holy God whom we are serving with utmost confidence. God needs us to be faithful to Him. Our brethren needs us to be faithful to God. Vivid language, Proverbs 25:19, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in a time of trouble. When life is hard, that's when people need us to be dependable, unwavering. When the tough get going, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. The weak run away. If you understand what I'm saying. Look at verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for it refreshes the soul of his master. It's not just about us. God needs us to weather this storm so that through us He can show others you can do it too. It's all worthwhile. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? People are watching us. God is watching us. it's very clear the world's got problems. And the problem with the world is it doesn't have Jesus. And we say that, but we got to show them the difference Jesus makes. Not just when everything is going good, because anybody can handle that well. The real litmus test is when life gets tough. Remember, people are watching. People are watching. And finally, for this morning's lesson, I think there's a very important truth here. And I was standing in line. For our Thanksgiving dinner, we stood in line for an hour and a half to get this buffet Thanksgiving meal. Not what this one over here cooks. Not the same. But as I was standing in line, amazingly, as you stand in line, there's little places, kiosks and things, they'll sell you stuff while you're standing there waiting in line. And basically, the sentiment that one of these boards or these signs expressed was the following: blessedness is not found by waiting for storms to pass, but learning to sing in the rain. I modified that a little bit. I think one of the things that we need to remember is that happiness is not found in those few moments when life is just perfect and everything is coming up roses. Real joy in life is not found by waiting for those few moments, but is learning to sing and to rejoice regardless of what the weather's doing outside. And I'm convicted that it's frankly only when we learn how to be happy when life is rough that we really learn to be happy when life is not rough. Look at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. Oh, we take so much for granted when life is good. Are we really squeezing out every measure of blessedness in those blessed moments? No. So what do we need to get more out of life when life is good? We need a good dose of difficulty. Because then we can learn to rejoice when things are bad. We can learn to rejoice when things are good. We can learn to rejoice always. Because whether things are good or bad, it's always best to have an unwavering faith in God. So life can be tough. Like I said, we have those, oh no. Someone, boom, there you are. Sometimes you can see the storm on the distance coming and go, oh man, this is not going to be good. But we can make it good if we allow our faith to not waver, but grow. And with God's help, we can do it if we remember as well as do some things that He's outlined in Scripture. We've talked about the things to remember this morning. Tonight we'll talk about things to do. Come back if you would. The lesson is yours. If you're here and you're not a child of God, please, please understand that life is about getting ready for eternity. If you don't show up for practice and if you don't go through the drills, you're not going to win the game. So if we can help you, we can help you get on God's team. Tell us. We want to. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe with all your heart that He is the Christ, if you will confess your faith in Him, repent of your sins, make a promise to God that I will love you, God, in good times or bad. Yeah, He'll show you some, He'll allow you to endure some tough times, but it's going to all be worthwhile. So then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Become a child of God. Have the bright prospect of allowing Him to teach you how to live now so that you're blessed and so that you can go to heaven where you'll be blessed for always. And if you are a child of God, we're here to encourage one another. Maybe you're struggling with something. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. If we can help you in any way, tell us how as we stand and sing.